second reading this evening comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. The word of God for the people of God. These words are directed at everybody, though. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Note this seventh verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, due understanding of his word. Let us pray. O most merciful Father, we didn't know that this day was going to come. We thank you, Father God, that you have been faithful and that you successfully brought us, had us navigate through today to arrive at this hour of the evening where we gathered together, brothers and sisters of like faith, looking to you, Father, that we would praise, honor, and glorify you, but we are looking for a blessing from you, Father God. We know you are a righteous God, almighty. We ask your blessing upon the word that we might hear the word, hear a message from you, Father, through your word. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we ask you to give us ears to hear and hearts that would want you to transform them, knowing fully that you have exposed ourselves to us, each one of us, to ourselves. We thank you, O Holy Spirit, guide us that we might praise the Father in spirit and in truth. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may wonder why I on short notice when Pastor Taylor said that he needed to be on a brief vacation. I went back to something that wasn't delivered here at Trinity in Lanham. And I had looked at a couple of different things about questions that were being posed by a couple of members, you know, the statements that people make off the cuff, you know, not anything earth-shattering, something as simple as hindsight's 20/20, and it's like, oh, is it? You know, it's like, you know, we think that, I mean, there are a lot of old cliches that are thought-provoking, but if you don't go beyond the pleasantry of, oh, that's kind of funny or neat, and say, well, wait a minute, is that true? The question would beg itself an answer in the sense that, is hindsight 20/20? And some of you might wonder, it's like, well, it's kind of curious as to why you're looking at 2 Corinthians, why you're looking at John, because there are a number of other places, even in the gospel according to John, that actually beg the question, is sight that important? You know, and which sight is that that's important? And that's what we hope to deal with this evening. You know, I trust that you've heard that a person say is hindsight's 20/20. I've heard it more than a few times. I've heard the statement, and oftentimes of late, I ask the question, what are you trying to say? What is it that you're trying to communicate? Because a lot of times we will say things and people will take what we say, but they don't really understand what was just presented to them from that person that was doing the speaking. And it's important in communication that the person that's doing the speaking is being perceived properly. Because if I say something tonight and it doesn't make sense or it doesn't jive with what you think, then maybe you should, you know, confront me on that. You know, and I'm talking about in love. You know, the Bible says the way that you should do that. If there is something that needs to be addressed then that should be addressed. Because a message coming from this pulpit should actually be, if it's going to be challenged behind the scene and there was something that was in error, it needs to be corrected. Because all of us are saved by grace. Those of us that are claiming grace are saved by grace. So that what does that look like? It looks like we're sinners, but we're saved by grace. So we still have got some old man or old woman in us, and it needs to be purged. I mean, all of us. This is not one-sided. So let's look at something. Hindsight. Whether sight is correct at 20 feet. Talking about sight. 20/20. Are you seeing at 20 feet what you should see at 20 feet? By just looking back on something, getting another chance to look back, and that's what I would submit to you, many people would say you get a chance to look back to see if something is the way that you thought it was, or do you want to say, oh, I see it from a slightly different angle now, and it doesn't look like I thought it looked. That's where I'm going, in the sense that just getting an opportunity to look back at something again doesn't mean that you are clearly viewing it the second time or the third time. That second or third time doesn't increase your cognition or your recognition or change your nature or the nature of the situation that you're looking back on. We need to understand and acknowledge that words are powerful. These words are powerful. We need to understand that words have influence, which goes back to, if a person is saying something, it's always good to actually get something from the person that you're saying it to, so you can reasonably understand that they got what you were talking about. Because just in the English language, and really it's studying Spanish now, it's like, wow, okay. You know, you even changing the order of the way words are in sentences and so forth, and it's like, okay. But words have power, and structure is important. So let's think about something. 20/20 vision is a term used to express normal visual acuity, the clarity or sharpness of vision. Now, if you think that that's all there is to seeing, you're sadly mistaken. Because that is true that it measures the distance of 20 feet. If you have a 20/20 vision, you can see clearly at 20 feet what you should be able to see at 20 feet or what normal eyes would be able to see at 20 feet. Excuse me. If you have 20/100 vision, it means that you must be as close as 20 feet to see what another person that has normal vision would be able to see at 100 feet. You know, when you say 20/100, a lot of people don't realize how different that is. Because we will grow accustomed to our own condition, and if we don't have 20/100 vision, we will tend to take that for granted. But a person that has 20/100 vision, they're not taking that for granted. In most cases, they are desirous of having better vision. How do they show that? By going to an eye doctor and seeing about getting glasses or contact lenses, or if surgery is something that, you know, that's a big thing on LASIK surgery now, and you know, I'm not here to tell you what to do about that, but you know, there's a big thing on LASIK, you know, eye surgery now to actually correct that, so you don't have to wind up wearing contact lenses or glasses. Now, I don't find them so bad, but all I have to, I only have to use them for reading. But you know, that's my take on that. But there's a catch. Okay, we talked about the 20/20 vision and the whole notion of corrective opportunities. As in most situations or circumstances, there's at least one or more catches in it. You know, if you haven't explored the tension within a situation, be it good or bad, if you haven't done enough homework, if you haven't actually looked at both sides, at least many situations will have more than a upside and a downside. There will be many other issues that you might want to explore. This vision issue is no different. 20/20 does not necessarily mean perfect vision. Because 20/20 vision only indicates sharpness or clarity at a distance. There are other important aspects of vision, side vision, or we call peripheral vision, eye coordination, depth perception, focusing ability, color vision, that contributes to an overall ability to see. In case of vision, a comprehensive eye examination by a doctor of optometry can diagnose causes that may very well be able to be corrected or make medicine or any number of different protocols that can be used to help you to improve your vision. Well, see, we have a protocol to improve our vision. And even if you don't have visual acuity through sound, you know, DVDs, CDs, cassettes, you can hear the Bible. The Bible has been produced in Braille. So us sighted people have a problem. We have been cited, and I can say that for us here, we have been cited for our entire lives. So that's one thing that we might, unless you've had problems with your eyes, you might be somewhat passe about your vision. You take it for granted. It's like, you know, I'll see guys that'll be working out in the yard on equipment and things being slung their way, like grass and all that, and they're walking around with no eye protection on. They're cutting trees down with no eye protection on. I remember when I used to do that. I thank God that He spoke to me through the Holy Spirit. Oh, you're taking for granted those two things that you have that you can see through. And it's like, no, sir, no, I'm not taking that for granted. I'll cover them up, you know. And am I saying that happens all the time? No, I'm not saying that, because we are forgetful creatures. We'll make exceptions because, oh, it's just, I'm just going to do this little thing, you know, and not slow down to actually think, how might this affect my ability to see, you know, a blessing that God has given me from birth. Now, the whole thing about this improving your vision, we have a bigger problem than improving our visual acuity. I'm not saying take that for granted, but we have a bigger problem, a much bigger problem. We are told to walk by faith, not by sight. That's clearly, 2 Corinthians 5:7 is clear about that. That's one of the statements that's an imperative statement. That's not something that you need to research or you don't have to. You might do well to look at implications that fall from that, but that's not an implicit statement. It's explicit. It's very clear. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, in John 20, chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now let's jump on over here to Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We are they. We've not laid our visual acuity on Jesus. Go back to hindsight. Hindsight, by definition, is recognition of the nature or requirements of a situation, event, etc., after its occurrence. It would have to have already happened, and you're looking back on it. In other words, you got to look at it before. You saw it before. It might have been a fleeting moment, a millisecond, you got another look at it. That's fine. Many of us will stare at something the first time, study it the first time. Even then, when we get a second chance to look at it, if we aren't cautious, we will look at it the same way that we looked at it before. This word of God says that we should renew our mind by His word. Our mind should be in the process of being renewed, because although we are saved, we still have an old nature that wants to take over. It won't be so strong to take over if we are constantly, daily, moment by moment, because the word says that we're to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, if that's what we're doing and we are being renewed by His word, then we are going to be less apt to look at something just through the eyes of the way we saw it before. Just like when, and most of you that have been in the Word, and you go back and you read something, and you've even heard Pastor Taylor say over and over again, as much as he's been in the Word, that he loved a particular section, he reads it again, and he sees it from a different perspective. That's not discounting the other perspectives that he had years ago, months ago, weeks ago, even yesterday, but it's interesting how we will say that God in his greatness is really unsearchable to the nth degree. Is there stuff that you can search? Yeah, because he's given us all that we need to wind up searching. But even this, we can't search enough. Because he will reveal, not changing the words or the ideas, but because we oftentimes will look at things from our own predisposed position that we hold and not realize that God is speaking even right now differently to us and even to me as I'm standing here before you. Because something to consider, 1 Corinthians 13:12-13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. Some would have it translated love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Thank God eyesight is one of the abilities you have to have. Or visual acuity does not have to, it didn't even make the list. No, I'm not saying that hindsight shouldn't be educated. Hindsight shouldn't be embraced, because a second chance to look at something or a third chance to look at something might be profitable for the one doing the looking, or for some other one of us that are believers. If we can share information with one another, sharpen each other. But Merriam-Webster defines sight as the sense through which a person becomes aware of light, color, etc. The act of seeing someone or something. Now, Random House, it's kind of interesting how dictionaries, you know, old dictionaries, new dictionaries, they, you know, definitions change and so forth. Random House Webster's dictionary defines sight as the power or the faculty of seeing, perception, if you will, perception of objects or by use of the eyes, vision. The act or fact of seeing. Anyway, to perceive with the eyes, if you will, I mean, you can kind of paraphrase, to see with the eyes, the act or the fact of seeing. Think about something. Seeing is believing. Thomas was, that's how we are. We think if we see something, even though you can do magic tricks and the sleight of hand will trick the eye, you can have little sketches that will confuse the visual acuity, be it sharp or not, to say, oh, you're seeing something that's actually not. If you were to measure it, you say, well, wait a minute, these lines look like they're equal and they're not. Or there's an image here that's not what it was designed to be. Or you look at another angle and it's something else. And that's one of many things that we should consider when we talk about seeing is believing. But we're no different than Thomas. Many times we will say the proof is in the pudding. If you're trusting your taste buds, I mean, and you know what the recipe is. But if you don't know the recipe, is it? If you don't know what this concoction is it? Just questions. John 9, 39 through 41. Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Let's see, these were some very educated people. Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Now, it's interesting, we were talking about that before we came to service, in the sense that in order for your sins to be removed from you, you got to admit that you're a sinner. In order for you to be able to see, you got to admit you can't see. Now, to many, that's befuddling. It's like you're talking in trick, you're talking in circles, you're talking trickery, you're talking in parables, you're talking stuff that I don't understand. And it's reasonable that there's a lack of understanding, but let's look at something. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, if you look at 3:17 relative to verse 39 of the reading that I did of John 9:39-41, it might seem like it's a contradiction there, but that the when it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But there is no real conflict or contradiction. The purpose of Christ coming into the world was not to judge, but to save. However, judgment is the inevitable result of all who fail to receive him. That's at the same time. At the same time. The preaching of the gospel has two effects. A lot of times, because we are believers, we get lost in the thought that every time the word of God is preached, we say that it doesn't come back void. Well, guess what? That doesn't mean everybody that hears it is going to be saved. It has done what it was designed to do. Those who admit that they do not see are given sight. But those who insist that they can see perfectly without the Lord Jesus are confirmed in their blindness. They don't see it that way, but as we go through, it will become so clear. Lord, man, that's why I told you we were talking about some of this stuff in here. Confirmed in the blindness. You know, in verse 40, some of the Pharisees realized that the Lord Jesus was speaking possibly to them. So they come to him and ask him, you talking about us? Are you talking to us? The question seemed to expect a negative response. I guess if you will, kind of permit me to paraphrase. If you admit that you are blind and sinful and that you need a Savior, then your sins can be forgiven you. You can be saved. However, at the same time, you profess that you are in need of nothing. You claim that you are righteous and that you have no sin. Therefore, there's no forgiveness of sin. Why would you be forgiven of something that you don't need forgiveness of? God has a way of giving us what we want. Thank God we want Jesus. It may be a rocky road, but I believe as long as you are desiring more of Jesus, more of Jesus, give me more of Jesus, God's going to give you what you're asking for. He wants to give it. He wants to give you Jesus. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You know, yes, we have the Holy Spirit. The problem is many times we act like we don't have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you would have no sin. I don't suspect that he meant that he would be absolutely sinless. If they had only acknowledged their blindness, they would have had a sin covering. Past sins, current sins, future sins. They didn't choose to do that. And worse than that, them failing to recognize Jesus as the Messiah got to be tough. Failing to recognize him as the Son of God and them being as educated as they were. That's a sad situation. Where somebody had studied as much as they studied but didn't recognize the Messiah standing in their presence, God incarnate. So as we search the words, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to confirm that which we are thinking or espousing. Let's go back to think about something. Hindsight 2020, think about it. You know the story back in Exodus, Moses and Aaron, and they're told to go to Pharaoh, starting in about around chapter 3 and proceeding. And there in Exodus 7, there are records of some horrific events. Water turning to blood. We know them as plagues, frogs. Hindsight 2020. Lice. Hindsight 2020. Flies. Hindsight 2020. Why am I saying hindsight 2020? Think about something. Each time that they went to Pharaoh, he had an opportunity. There's no recording of him having a problem seeing or that he had a problem with other senses in the sense of smell, hearing. But I'm talking mostly about sight. Frogs, lice, flies, animals dying, boils, hail, locusts, 3 days of darkness. And even firstborn dying. Hindsight, 2020. See, our problem is not our eyesight. Our problem is our heart. This is a heart thing. And no matter what condition you find yourself in, under the blood or not under the blood, it continues to be a heart thing. Even as we search God's scriptures, we need to make sure that our hearts are properly aligned and are listening to the Holy Spirit. I found something interesting that, I mean, it just amazed me that if you look at Exodus 7, 20, just, I mean, it's so much, Rich, I commend it to go back. If you want to read something, it kind of, as I continue to read Exodus 3 through 14, and just let it marinate a little bit. It's amazing to me, a lot of times we'll read over something so quickly that we don't realize what we just read. You know, yes, we heard it or we read it with sincerity, but it's like, wait a minute, make this. R.C. Sproul has a way of saying, you know, but try it on for size. What would you be thinking if you were in this situation? You know, now that's dangerous sometimes, but it's informative in the case of looking back at 7:23. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. It's like, this is after all that stuff? For real? You've seen all of this with your eyes. Your people are crying and moaning about their children being dead after all this darkness. And the locusts ate up everything, and the hail and beat down all kinds of stuff. The boils, the animals, the flies. Oh, I can't even imagine that. But the lice and the frogs and all. I mean, the heaps of frogs and stuff. It's like, wait a minute. You saw all of that. And with repetition, it's like it didn't have any impact at all. Well, we know we are on this side of the writing of that. So we see that God had hardened his heart. Understand, God doesn't make hard hearts. He gave him what he wanted. You keep asking God for, I want this, I want this. I'm a living witness to that. Thank God he changed my heart. You can get fixated on things that are ungodly, and God will give you over to them. That's why you want to fix your mind on, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It has protected me. I can bear witness. It has protected me from myself. And in the midst of it, I was praising and honoring God. Even in the midst of my folly and confusion, you know, it's like, that's how you get out of that. But he didn't take it to heart. I'm Pharaoh. I mean, it was almost like he wanted to manipulate Moses to say, well, oh, yeah, well, you can let them go not too far, you know. But matter of fact, let's leave the animals here, you know. It's like, no, we got to take the animals so we can sacrifice some of them. And we won't know which ones we're going to sacrifice till we get there. But here we are looking at a man that has had his heart hardened. Now, we can quickly look at something from our memory of the story of the prodigal son, he is a different character. When he came to himself, Luke 15, verses 11 through 32 speak of that story. But verse 17, when he came to himself, you know how we say clothed in your right mind? You know, not befuddled or betwixt, but clothed in your right mind. He came to his senses, in other words. I will say unto my Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See, he's admitting his fault. Pharaoh never admitted fault in any of that. He didn't even take it serious. He didn't take it to heart. What is God trying to say to me? Whereas this guy, this prodigal is like, oh, wait a minute. My father's hired help. Eating better than I am. It's like, this doesn't make sense. This picture doesn't look right. You know, I can go to my father. But he realized that he had done wrong against his father. Pharaoh, when his prodigal came to himself, sin does terrible things to us. And yes, even us that are saved, it can do a terrible thing to us. It'll trick us. Because it'll cause us to look at a situation incorrectly. It'll cause us to look many times at the world incorrectly, make us see ourselves in a wrong light. In other words, if I'm confused and I want some help from someone else, then I need to listen to the someone else, not just with my ears, but with a heart that is willing to receive what they're saying. Now, is all of what's being said to you going to be correct? I doubt it. Some of it you may take exception to, but if you don't listen with fresh ears, it's about like looking at something with the same eyes that you looked at it before. Someone may have said something before that you didn't fully comprehend, and they'll say the same thing again, and unless you're willing to listen to it anew, it's like, oh, yeah, you said that before. It's like, you know, maybe there's something to what they're saying. And when I find myself humbling myself enough to ask questions, sometimes there can be a breakthrough for me. I'll just hold that out to you for consideration. It may make us see ourselves in a wrong light. In other words, this whole notion of being in sin. If we admit that we are still sinners, sometimes us as believers, we will get on a holier-than-thou platform. And I'm not saying that's something that you consciously do. It's something you may just drift toward because you may have been walking with the Lord a long time. But asking sober questions can help to clarify things, cause ourselves to not see through the pleasures of the world wrongly. The pleasures of the world can confuse your vision. If you're pushing away from that, you need to recognize that may also flavor what you're hearing. When we don't see clearly, we might want to consider that there's some sin somewhere. And that's a hard thing to actually say. We don't just see clearly when we're in sin, but to realize that you can be saved. And I'm not talking about your salvation being in peril or being in question. I'm talking about us because we are sinners saved by grace, and we may very well slip into something that we don't really comprehend where we are. Physical sight is unimportant in regards to salvation. Now, most of us, we know that. I mean, because the same point, does a person that's born blind have the same opportunity? Yes. It's not relative to whether or not you have visual acuity. I'm talking about the word. And some people would say, well, what about somebody that can't hear? That's irrelevant too. God got all that covered. God has a salvation plan for humankind. Physical sight is unimportant in regards to salvation. Spiritual sight is vital. John 7:24 says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, interestingly enough, seek ye first the kingdom and all. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of our own. So we need, and that goes back to that daily walking. Daily walking. Because we could easily fall prey to judging according to appearance. Judge according to righteous judgment. Whose judgment? His judgment. If he says this is the way something is, then line up with it, even if you don't understand it. Judge not of the flesh. John 8:15. Judge not of the flesh. James 2:26. For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. In this situation, here the issue is summarized beautifully. James compares faith to the human body. He likens works to the spirit. The body without the spirit is lifeless, useless, valueless. The eye is a part of the body. It's hard to see the light if you never listen. Some people, well, never listen. Well, too often we listen to the world instead of listening to the word. The trouble with the Jews was that they judged things according to the outward appearance, the Pharisees, and not according to the inward reality. The judgment was not righteous because it's the inward reality that is the righteous judge. Works would seem legitimate when performed by the Jews, seemed absolutely wrong when performed by Jesus. And that was the continuity of contrariety in the sense that here Jesus was doing great things, never did anything bad. Human nature tends to judge according to sight rather than according to the reality. The Lord Jesus had not broken Moses' laws, not any of them. Those that hated Jesus were, in fact, breaking the law. They didn't see it that way. But if you go back and look at that, they were saying, hey, he's a good guy and so forth. But then when they started hating on him, he couldn't do anything good. He was doing the same stuff. But he was cutting into them. They didn't like that. Those that hated Jesus were, in fact, breaking the law. Their senseless hatred of him. You know, it's been said that These leaders that hated Jesus, if they would have fallen into the definition I'm getting ready to share with you that's been stated by a number of different people, it's been said by a number of leaders, they know the way, they show the way, and they go the way. That's what a good leader does. Well, these Pharisees weren't good leaders. They were well read, but they weren't read enough that they understood that these words were standing in their presence. The Jesus was the incarnate God standing there with them. Matthew Henry compares the parables to the pillar of clouds and fire, which enlightened Israel while confusing the Egyptians. The parables would be revealed to those who were sincerely interested, but would prove only irritations to those who were hostile to Jesus. His word, we know that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's going to accomplish what it was designed to do. It's going to draw some to, and it's going to push others away. So it was not a matter of whim on the Lord's part, but simply the working of a principle that is built into all of life. Willful blindness is followed by judicial blindness. Willful blindness. These weren't accidents. These weren't happenstances. These weren't events that happened one time and somebody realized that they were wrong. As we saw with Pharaoh, over and over and over and over again, he had an opportunity to change. These Pharisees that were hunting down Jesus, I mean, it was like the Sadducees and Pharisees were double teaming Jesus. When one got finished, the other ones would start in. They had many opportunities to be changed, but they were set and they didn't want to see anything different, so they didn't see anything different. That is why Jesus spoke to the Jews in parables. A.C. Woodring puts it another way. Because they did not have the love of the truth, they would not get the light of the truth. Jesus is the light, light of the world. They profess to see, that is, to be familiar with the divine truth. But truth incarnate stood in front of them, and they refused to see him. Refused. They profess to hear God's word, but they put the living word of God away from them. They would not obey him. They'd rather see Barabbas set free than to let God incarnate be a blessing to them and others. Peter discusses the enjoyment of our present salvation, Christ, by faith. Though we have never seen him with our eyes, we love him. Though we do not see him at this point in time, yet we believe in him. That is how we enter into the blessedness which he told Thomas of. Blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. We all here believe in Jesus. We've not seen him. We've felt him. We've experienced him. But we've not seen him. In this verse, look does not merely describe human vision. Rather, it conveys the idea of regarding a thing as important. As far as the things which are seen are concerned, they are not the goal of one's existence. Here they refer primarily to the hardships, the trials, the suffering which Paul endured. These were incidental to his ministry. The great object of his ministry was what is not seen. This might include the glory of Christ, the blessing of one's fellow men and women that you are aware of, and the rewards that await a faithful servant at the judgment seat. Now, Mark 4, verse 12, the words in verse 12 may seem harsh and even unfair, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. These people had a tremendous privilege. The Son of God taught in their midst and performed many mighty miracles in their presence. Instead of acknowledging him as a true Messiah, they were quickly rejecting him. And I want to emphasize quickly rejecting him. In other words, like Pharaoh, not taking it to heart. It's like, oh, I know what you're thinking. Oh, I know what you're about. And it's like, wait a minute, hold up. I don't care who this person is. If they're talking to you and God in his providence has put that person in your presence, you might want to listen to what they're saying. Because it might not be the old rhetoric that you have grown accustomed to. It might be something new. It might be something to alert you to, hey, you might want to get out of the building. The building's on fire. You know, but if you just quickly dismiss somebody, oh, that's Johnny. He's always playing. You know. Because they quickly rejected him, because they spurned the light of the world, they would be denied the light of his teachings. From that point on, they would see his miracles, yet not understand the spiritual significance. Hear his words, yet not appreciate the deep lessons in them. They had so much pent-up hatred for Jesus that they couldn't even hear. They couldn't see. And that's why our hearts need to be transformed by renewing of the word. Because our hearts will play tricks on us. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, doers of the word, doers of the word. I know I'm just ratcheting it up a minute because I'm not talking about seeing. I'm talking about doers of the word. Okay, you hear the word. Now, do what the word says. You know, say, oh, yeah, yeah, I got that. But wait a minute, are you doing what the word says? You got art with your brother? Did you go to your brother? Oh, yeah, yeah, I know, I got that. Oh, no, wait, did you go to your brother? It's like the things that we emphatically know about the word, many times we will discount them and look for other things. And it's like, no, look for other things, but don't discount what you already know and put what you know to use, okay? But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self, not Cliff deceiving you, not Ron deceiving you. Cliff has enough deception within himself. Don't let your own mind deceive you. John 20:29, and I'm coming toward the end here. Note that Thomas's faith was not the kind that was most pleasing to the Lord. It was belief based on sight. In many respects, we're said to be blessed better than Thomas in some respect, because we all of us in here to believe in Jesus, and all of us do. We have been blessed to see the reality of Christ, and we've never locked eyes on him. I, in many respects, I'm a blind man, but I see Jesus. It's because I've admitted that I'm blind that I can see Jesus. And it's because you've admitted that you're blind that you can see Jesus. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that. Don't take it for granted. It's because of our admission that we see that he's revealed himself to. If God says something, we need to honor him by believing him. You know, many of our brothers and sisters are looking for signs and wonders. He saved me. That's a big enough sign and wonder to me. I see him working in other people's lives. Those are signs and wonders. Those are the kind of signs and wonders, because those are eternal. The changes that God performs in bringing a person to life, dead man walking, dead woman walking, he brings them to life. That's eternal. If someone has a withered hand or a limb, you know, sympathy, they got much sympathy and much concern about their welfare, but that's not the biggest problem they get. So what if their hand gets healed? If their soul goes to hell, what is it profiting them? A few minutes here on earth with two hands? And I'm not making light of that, because I have two functional hands. But I'm saying there's going to be plenty of functional people that might be good to look at, but they're going to go to hell. Second Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith. And it makes a declaration here, not by sight. If you're confused about something, you might want to back up and say, am I walking by faith? Am I walking in the Word? And I mean, really humble yourself to look. You might very well think that you are, and you know, I've been corrected, you know, and I'm in a position to be corrected, and I want to stay in a position of being corrected, because I've not been perfected. I'm not beyond making a mistake. Men have something wrong with every aspect of our existence. Sight's just one of them. Mankind is blind. Perception and knowledge. Visually challenged people and sighted people all have the same problem. If they're not born again, we're blind. Just because you got two eyeballs to function does not mean that you see. Thank God that we all have the covering of the blood, hindsight, even foresight is not going to change your destination. We walk by faith, not by sight. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. If you're thinking something, see if it's lining up with what you understand the word to be. Hindsight, don't rely on it. Foresight, don't rely on it. Rely on the word of God. We will be blessed. Amen.